Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We have dogs on our team. We have dogs. The Cowboys have dogs. We got players that'll fight. But our dogs only bite when you come in their house. We need dogs that'll bite when you come near the neighborhood. Don't we? When you come near the neighborhood, I want you to be scared. Like, oh, somebody in the neighborhood. Stop picking up rocks and sticks because you don't know where the dog is. That's what we need. We need dogs that bite people in the neighborhood, not just in the house.
That is the best promo I think that has ever come from this show. Troy producing it with Michael Irvin at the end of the Cowboys season, which of course came up short. And Michael is getting ready to join us from radio.com, our sports NFL insider. And the insider calls are brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. It's Sean and RJ here. A lot of stuff is going on. Bobby Petrino is hired as the new coach at Missouri State. And we are following the Centennial Hall of Fame class being revealed on the NFL Network. I think Roy got his hands. Let's just ruin the drama. Let's see if any Cowboys got in. Armando Salguero putting out the list, Roy, of who is making this class.
Yeah, and I had just gotten the list from him, Sean. Let me pull it back up here real quickly because, unfortunately,
ESPN only shows 9 guys that have been in of yes. the Centennial. There's supposed to be 10, right?
Well, they've shown 9, but I have the list of the 10. So we have the contributors, Steve Sable, Paul Tagliabue, George Young. The seniors that have already been named, Harold Carmichael, Jim Covert, Bobby Dillon, Winston Hill, Alex Karras, Donnie Schell, and Duke Slater, the ones that have not been named yet. Cowboys safety Cliff Harris will make the list, but Max Speedy and Ed Sprinkle finish out the list of the 10, so Drew Pearson's name not a part of that.
Cliff Harris, 2-time Super Bowl champ, 6-time Pro Bowler, NFL, 1970s All-Decade Team, Cowboys Ring of Honor.
Undrafted.
And he will be joining this man, joining us on the BuyerSafety.com hotline. He's back on the show after electrifying the Metroplex last time. Michael Irvin with Sean and RJ. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Man, I'm doing well, man. How are you guys?
Doing well. Watching your network right now. Who is at the top of Michael Irvin's list of the guys who they should have put into the Hall of Fame? These guys have to get in. Who's on your list, whether you played with them or not?
Now, of course, first of all, you know, I get up and go work out at 5 in the morning. That's why I always listen to you guys on my ride in and on my ride out. So I just got back. And I was just turned the TV on and saw that it got Donnie Schell in, so I didn't hear the rest of the list. But I heard you guys say that Drew Pearson did not get in, and I thought right then that's who I was looking forward to seeing if he got in today, hoping I should say that he got in today for all that he's been and his time. You know, we talk about it, and even talking about Jimmy the other day. You know, I was so happy to see you, dude. Let me tell you something. That was such a powerful moment right there on TV to watch Coach Johnson. I've known Coach Johnson since I was 17, 18-year-old little kid walking into the University of Miami. And I'm 53 now. Oh. You know, I'm 53. All of those years, we've had some hell of a moment. I mean, some great moments. I ain't never see Coach Johnson that emotional. That happy, and it was a beautiful moment. I was crying in my hotel room as I watched, because I was watching the game, of course. As I was watching the game and watching, man, it was just an incredible moment. But back to your question, I would have loved to have seen Drew Pearson get in. You know, Drew Pearson was my motivation. My dad was a huge Cowboys fan, Dallas Cowboy fan. He even wore the fedora hat because of Tom Landry, and so I got the chance to watch Drew Pearson, man, and I really that would have really made my day.
You know, Michael, someone that is always brought up on the station and in DFW, but not nationally, is Darren Woodson. How do you view Darren, and is he someone that should be more seriously considered?
Well, and if you want to come to the current guys, I still believe Darren will get in. You know, I don't know if I was talking about Drew because it's Centennial and they're reaching back, getting people that they thought they might have left over the years. But Darren, I still believe Darren Woodson will still get in. And Darren and I talk about this all the time. You know, I love Woody. Woody has even said to me, he said, "Michael, you know, if God ever blesses me with that day, just wait and hear what I have to say because of the role that you played in the journey." So I'm just telling you, man, and I love him like a little brother. I try to take him under my wing and give him some advice when he first got in, not just about football, but also about setting up business and being ready for after football. And, you know, we've had some great conversations. There's no doubt. When you walk away and you're the leading tackle of what was considered a dynasty at the time, that you should be on that list.
Michael Irvin here on The Fan. What made Jimmy Johnson great, Michael? What is Jimmy's legacy?
You know what I tell you, what I tell people all the time, and I do. I mean, to this day, in my job, in my business, everything I do, I use all of the Jimmy Johnsonisms. If that's a word, if we can put it together like that. What I mean, Jimmy has never given you one piece of advice on the football field that you don't use in life. I mean, one piece, everything he ever said. So what he's done is he didn't just live with you from the moments he had you on a football team or the moments you had a football career. He's living with you for life. And a lot of the people that played under him, you watch, they have great success. They have success in life because they take those things that he said and they incorporate it. Man, you know how tired I'd be sometimes when I come in, because I travel 5-6 days a week. I come in and I say, man, I'm good to bed. I still get up at 6 in the morning because I hear Jimmy's voice. Make your mind control your body. Don't let your body control your mind, because the body wants to stay in that bed. The body said, boy, ain't we tired? The mind has to say, get up and shut up. Shut up and get up and let's go get working. I still live by those things. I mean, he was a great, great coach. A great coach, but he was a better man. He is a better man, and he's just an incredible guy.
Mike, when you got here, it was still under Landry. You were supposed to be the return to the living for this team. It was still under Landry. You had a year under Tom, and then Jimmy gets here. What was the difference? Like, what was the initial difference that Jimmy brought? Because obviously he was a younger voice, a different voice, the first time they had a new voice.
Yeah, hey, Ty, you remember Tex Schramm saying that, man. People laughed at old Tex when he said that. It's so crazy. Black dude coming out of Fort Lauderdale with all this gold stuff around his neck. What do you mean he's going to return you to the living? Old Tex, God bless Tex, man. God bless him for believing in me like that, man. I appreciate that. But listen, when Jimmy came, there was one thing I knew when Jimmy got here. And honestly, you know, I was blessed to be drafted by Tom Landry and get a moment to be around him and try to just glean whatever I can from all the knowledge and wisdom that he had, man. But when Jimmy came in, I knew. I was like, okay, all right, now things will get right. You know, we went 3-13 that first year. I said, trust me, things will get right, because I knew what Jimmy was. Now, I didn't know how Jimmy would incorporate his fear, because I knew how he did it in college. You know, I know how he did it in college, and it worked. You know, he would always call us up and say, "Boy, I know y'all, everybody's happy," because he had brung us all from some real hellhole ghettos. All of us was from some ghettos, and he said, "I know your mom, your whole family happy. You got a scholarship, and you made it to college. And everybody happy." He said, "But nobody really read that whole scholarship, did you? You didn't read the fine print. I know you think you got 4 years going. I got 4 years of college. You think you can come on this field?" with that scholarship and do whatever you want, whenever you want it. He said, you better read the fine print. Go home and read it. Those scholarships are 1 year renewable, and I will make sure none of your butts get back here. He didn't say, you know, and boy, we were looking around at each other like, hey, we ain't got nowhere to go but back to the ghetto. We got to get this right now, you know, right? And I wondered how would he incorporate fear on the NFL level. And one of the things he would always we would lose a football game. We lost a football game, I think, in Washington one time. I'll never forget that poor lady, that poor little lady. She was just doing her job, wanting to feed people. She brought that little cart, you know, that you take down the aisle to feed those people, to feed the people on the plane. And Jimmy got up after we lost the game. Jimmy was like, what are you doing? You put that card away. If they were hungry, they should have played on the football field like they were. Man, I'm telling you. So what happens now is that become the cry. The next game we get in, we're in the fourth quarter. It's a close game. I'm looking over and say, dude, we going to eat or not? Are we going to eat or not? Can we please win this game? Are we going to eat or not?
So he
was just the best, man. He was the best at bringing the best out of people. And that's exactly what the Cowboys need right now. Somebody that can bring the best. It's not about the talent anymore. It's can you reach down inside of these kids and pull out their key.
Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Irvin with the gold as always here on Sean and RJ. Last question about Jimmy before McCarthy. And you know we love Jerry personally. He comes on the show every week. But I said it was petty, Mike. Like it is embarrassing and petty that Jimmy Johnson gets into the Pro Football Hall of Fame before the Cowboys Ring of Honor. How can that be?
Yeah, and I don't know either. And you know, I certainly believe Jimmy Johnson should be in the Pro Football, I mean, in the Cowboys Ring of Honor. And hopefully, you know, Jerry understands now and says there's no way we have him in the Hall of Fame and not put him in the Ring of Honor, you know. So there's no doubt there. There's no doubt. And I try to kind of approach it sometimes here and there whenever. It's the right time with Jerry, and I kind of wait till we get some juice in him, if you know what I mean. And then you kind of try to bring it up to him, man. but it's kind of just like it had nothing to do with that. But hopefully now those things would get rectified, guys. And I listen to you guys. I listen to you because you know when you're talking with Jerry, man, and it's some good stuff. You got to do a good job with him. You don't soft pedal it. You give it to him, and he allows you guys, even though he owns everything. He allows you to come at him that way,
yeah.
Which really makes it great radio. It makes it great radio.
Thank you, Mike. Michael Irvin joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. All right, let's transition to Mike McCarthy. They slow played the whole process. Maybe they lost out on Ron Rivera. Maybe they didn't want him. Maybe they lost out on Matt Rhule. Maybe they didn't want him. What's your take on the hiring of Mike McCarthy?
You know, we were talking. Everybody's talking about hopefully making a splash with the call, which I find interesting. You know, I was on with someone, and we were talking about, you know, had they snatched away Sean Payton. Wow. I was like, wow, what a splash that would have been. That would have been a splash. It would have been like, oh, my God. We would have been turning flips in Dallas, man, if they had somehow got Sean Payton away. And honestly, I was hoping that maybe some of that was coming down the line. When they slow played this thing, that maybe they had something in the works. But then when they hired McCarthy, I certainly didn't flip like I thought I would with Sean Payton that got hired. But I wasn't disappointed either. I know Mike McCarthy to be a very good coach. And then I went and looked at it, and his numbers are very, 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 very. Let me put one more very on that. Very similar to Sean Payton. And I was like, now wait a minute. Why am I going to flip on Sean and not go crazy about Mike. Now, I will say this. When I watched that Matt Rhule press conference, I was impressed too now because I talked about needing a motivator, and he was up there. He was doing that old motivating up there.
Well, I was like, you were at Sunday church, Mike. That's what that was like.
Yeah, and you know I like stuff like that. I was like, hey, man, wait a minute. Did we let something get away? You know?
Yeah.
But I like where they are right now with Mike McCarthy because I think they need a strong voice, not a voice with somebody that has had some experience and where they want to go. It's the old adage, how can I tell you what I did not know? How can I take you where I did not go? So now he can at least go and say, guy, I know what it takes to get here, get there. I've been there, you know, and if you follow me, I can help you get there. No matter what, trust me, no matter what. Every player that ever puts on pads want to play in a Super Bowl. He just got to believe that the people that are coaching him and are around him can help him get there, and he will give more of himself to that person. And hopefully Mike McCarthy can instill in them and prove to them and show them that I know how to get you there, and they can give it to him.
Michael, he's got West Coast offense roots. How different do you think this offense is going to be? How and can Dak adapt?
So wait, where you dig right in my scab, man. That's the place I'm hurting about it. You know, that's the place I'm hurting about it, man. You look at it this way. Look at this way. Aaron Rodgers, of course, they're playing in the NFC Championship game. You know, but he was so comfortable in his old offense. Now he bring on a new offense. Look how one of the greatest quarterbacks, most physically gifted quarterbacks that we've ever seen and probably ever will see, rode this peak valley roller coaster kind of season, you know, learning this new offense. Even he did it. Peyton Manning took over his old offense, took his offense when he left. You know, I'm worried in that area right there. That's the only area, I should say, the area that I'm most concerned about. Because it seemed like Dak had just put his fingers all in this offense, had his best season statistically, just got it where he needed to really understand it and ready to take either another step. So now the most important part is for them to somehow do some kind of amalgamation of offenses where you're, I'm not saying you can't teach him this West Coast offense, but it's how you feed it to him. I want to feed it to him around what he's already great at and keep putting stuff in and putting new stuff in and putting new stuff in and let it grow instead of giving him all that other stuff where he stink giving them all to him at one time and he's thinking more than playing. This year he got to a place where he was playing, he had his receivers, and he took a huge step. He took a huge step. Now our defense didn't take the step that we all expected it to take.
Yeah.
You know, and that was an issue. And of course, we had some issues with those short yardage runs. But yeah, that's the area I'm concerned in. And hopefully, Mike McCarthy can work a way where you give him some of this offense as we go. Because it's a tough offense now. Let me say, that West Coast offense, that's the toughest offense I've ever been in. We played in the Pro Bowl after we would put that thing on San Francisco back in the day. They would bring the coaches that lost the NFC Championship game to coach the Pro Bowl. And, man, they coming out there talking about three right jet scat. But I'm like, what the hell is that? What do I run? my offense, they just give it to you. Red right, 363. I mean, I got a three, the tight end got a six, and the other receiver got a three. So now – I'm leaving the huddle. I'm looking at how do I beat the defense. But when I got over to Pro Bowl and they were talking all these letters and all these words, I was leaving the huddle saying, what route am I doing? What am I doing now? And anytime you leave a huddle thinking about what route do you run instead of how do I win on the route, you already lose, right?
Yeah.
So Troy was my quarterback. I only wanted to play with Troy in that quick game. So Troy came in. And Troy would call out that play. He knew it. You know, he's so smart. He knew it. Three jets. Then he would look at me and say, Michael, that's a three route. I went and won MVP just by Troy telling me, Michael, that's a six route for you. Don't worry. I swear to you, I didn't know any of that offense, man. I still don't know that offense because it's so hard. So hopefully he can teach it. He can teach it in a way that they will get it.
Troy was the translator, the great Michael Irvin, the best guest in the Metroplex. Michael, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
All right, guys. You guys keep doing the great work, man. I really do enjoy listening to you guys. I really do.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you. You're the absolute best, man. Appreciate it. And Michael will be happy to know Larry Fitzgerald returning to play for a 17th NFL season.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.